This is Stephanie Shea, the voice for Usagi Tsukino, and you're listening to the After Hours Nerds podcast.
His like car is like falling out of a plane, and he like
he catches it,
and then he like shoots himself across like a 900 foot mountain. I'm like, yo, like,
they're superheroes.
What is going on right
they're
now, super, bro? This is all about like drugs, wasn't it? Like,
no, they were stealing DVD players in the first one.
Come on.
Stealing DVD players, and all of a sudden they should be with the Avengers. Like, they shouldn't even be doing the shit they're doing. Alright, I'm gonna bring us in.
Bring it.
You're listening to episode 97 of the After Hour Nerd Podcast, the week of October 11, 2021. The weekly podcast that covers last week's important gaming nerd culture news, hosted by Gags and Dill.
Yeah.
Dill, back off your little hiatus. How was it? Tell me you played a bunch of games.
I really didn't.
I played a little bit of Apex on Friday and Saturday. That was about it.
Did you win?
Been bugging out, though.
How are the queues?
It's weird. You'll start off, like, the first game I get into takes the longest.
Yep.
Like, once I get into one, the next ones are, like, instantaneous.
The servers were fucked, weren't they?
They're still, like, weird, though. Like, sometimes when I get to the loading, after I pick my guy, mm-hmm. and I go to that next screen, it just freezes. And then, like I said, I can't exit out.
Yeah.
I have to literally go to the task manager and end it. I restart it,
this
I have
like
to
a
wait for
work.
That stupid fucking thing. Yeah. That install shaders, the 6,000 bits or whatever.
Yeah.
I got to wait for that to load. So then I got to wait 10 minutes. Then I get back in. Then I get that long-ass queue time for that first game.
Yeah.
And then by the time I finish that game, I'm in a decent... But when I go to play with someone,
mm-hmm.
that first game again takes forever.
So you're almost better off, like, whenever someone says, hey, let's go online, you have to, like, start to set up an hour before you guys are supposed to drop.
I mean, that little shader shit's not that bad.
How long does that take?
It's like 10 minutes.
Okay,
still,
okay.
Though, it's like,
so it's really like a 20 minute?
I feel like I need to install something on my computer that I just kept hitting no to because I didn't want to.
Too much porn on the computer?
No, it's like every time a new update comes out, it tells you to like install new drivers.
Yeah.
And I just never do it because it's hit no.
Yeah, that's why.
Because it has to restart the whole computer and I'm in a rush to play. So I'm like, I don't got time for that. But
you know what would never do that? My Xbox.
Oh, fuck your Xbox.
That's why I won't go to PC gaming.
Yeah, I mean, okay, Mr. 60 frames.
Okay. 60 frames is more. Hey, sometimes I get 30. That's
me,
awesome.
Me, Chris Swiss, and his brother, we were bugging out the other night.
An Apex?
Oh, yeah.
I can't picture. That kid plays PS5, too.
Yeah, he does. No, we bugged out. We took, like, probably had to take 5 dubs on the night. Like, quick. Like, in an hour span.
The only thing I miss, because in my apartment right now, I can't do LAN. Because my modem and router is downstairs.
Just throw up the 100-footer up the stairs.
Right up the stairs.
in the way of everything.
You know what I'd have to do? I'd have to tape
snake
it.
Snake it all around the walls, baby.
Everyone's like, what the hell is this wire for?
You're going to have to get a 1,000-footer, run it around your whole bedroom.
Yeah.
Run it around the whole bathroom.
Yep.
Run it around this whole room.
I wouldn't even do that. I would
just
go right
up the
stairs.
Thing.
Do the
whole border of the house.
Don't think I haven't thought about it.
Yeah, no, that'd be a lot better on that good Wi-Fi.
I know.
Like, plugged in.
Because for some reason, like on Fortnite, every time I play, it gives me the Wi-Fi symbol, but with an X on it.
Oh.
No matter how strong my Wi-Fi is.
Yeah, that's that old Xbox 360 shit when you were playing a Modern Warfare 2 match and you'd get the little X sign that you had no connection, even though you're like, yo, everything else in my house is working.
Yep.
But why is it saying I have no connection?
But it still plays.
Even if you have the fastest fucking speed. Yeah, you're still playing.
You're
still
right.
Playing like shit for like 2 seconds and it goes back to perfect. To
yes.
But then it still says you have the fucking red X.
Yes.
Even if it's running perfect.
Yes.
It makes no sense.
It
see, I don't have that problem.
Out of me.
I don't have that problem. The only thing I get to see dip is my FPS. But it only drops like 90.
At least you got like a
But
full...
the quality from 145 to 90 is just night and day.
I'm so I was talking to Lima.
When you play 145 straight, your shots, you just feel every
hit. I need a monitor. Like a gaming monitor.
No, you should, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
I already have one on the fucking radar.
Yep. How much is it?
It's like $299.
That's not see, that's what I'm saying. But what size?
It was like a 36.
So I kept looking at big ones. Everyone's like, don't get a big one. And that's
you don't,
where
you don't
yeah,
need a huge
everyone's
one.
Saying
I
that.
Think in the third I think 27 to 36 is fine.
I heard 24 is good too.
Yeah. My laptop is 17.
Yeah,
I can play on it. I mean, it
and
was,
again, it's diagonal.
If
too.
It was a little better, bigger, it'd be better.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd want to go too crazy.
Think about it. 7 inches diagonally bigger than what you have.
No, yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
That would be good. No,
that's not bad. But I feel like for a monitor,
yeah,
it's gonna be on the side of you almost, or unless it's in the front, you put the laptop on the side, whatever.
I'm gonna use it for my.
No, I know. I'm just in like that situation.
Yeah,
I feel like The one, I think the one I'm looking at is like 32.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would think, 32, right? Those are 32s.
It looked a little bigger than these. But then they got the curved ones and shit. Like, they got some crazy monitors. Do you need the curved ones?
What does the curve do?
I don't know. It just looks
cool. It just sounds cool.
Yeah, you know, they just have some crazy ones. But yeah, I definitely need one ASAP.
Did I tell you about my Switch OLED? Bought the Switch OLED, yeah, came in. Broken. Broken out of the box. Then
it's better than when I ordered a screen protector on Amazon and there was nothing in the package. I just got an empty package.
So I called Nintendo immediately because I tried to set up the repair online because it's like, oh, put your serial number in, and it didn't work. It was like, this is not a valid serial number.
This is not a real thing.
Yep. So I called them. They're like, oh, sorry, the Switch OLED model isn't in our system yet. I was like, what?
What?
And then they were like, all right, so when did you buy it? And I was like, it came out today. Oh, okay, good. So it came out today. And I was, it's like, all right, I know more than this lady.
So you're teaching the employee.
Yes. And that never makes me feel good when
No, absolutely not.
She was like, all right, so it's a broken Joy-Con. I was like, it's not a Joy-Con. The actual tablet itself will not register. So I took the new Joy-Con and put it in my old Switch.
Yep. Registers.
Registers works fine.
The tablet just won't register.
Yes. And I have, you know, like 50 Joy-Cons. I put all my left Joy-Cons in this. None of them work with it. So it's totally the new tablet.
That's so weird. But why would it only let the right one register?
Because I think the connector on the right side is fine. It's the connector on the left side that's broken.
So how does that have to do with the tablet?
Because it's the actual physical. You know how when you click it in?
Yeah. It's just not clicking.
It clicks, but it doesn't accept it. So if I were to play Bluetooth, it's fine.
Yeah.
So it can do everything wireless. So I actually had it set it up, put my Pro Controller in, played on it for about an hour. Then I was like, all right, I'll play handheld.
How was that experience?
It's the same as a normal Switch. It is. It's because the only improvement is the actual
sucker
OLED screen.
They got you.
Yeah, that's it. Well, and then they were like, all right, so send in the Joy-Con and the Switch tablet. It'll be a quick turnaround of 2 to 3 weeks.
Quick turnaround. Okay.
And then I'm telling you, in like 3 weeks, I'm going to get like a white Wii U back from them. And like a 3DS. I don't know what the fuck I'm getting back from these people. They were like, write a letter.
They give you Pokemon Yellow and a Game Boy.
I don't know what I'm getting back from these people. Yeah, like,
if you get anything back, if they even talk to you, you're going to call them back. They're not even going to answer.
No, 100%.
They're going to be like, we have no idea who you are, what you're talking about.
We don't have any record
of
you
was talking to you that day was fired. We don't know who they are.
Dude, I have no idea.
Very understaffed.
Yes.
Literally. Everyone's understaffed.
There were like multiple times she was like, hey, I'm going to have to put you on hold so I can talk to a different technician to find out what's going on.
That's just a bad sign. That's like when people used to come into the depot and I would be like, hey, and they'd ask me a question. I'd be like, hey, let me bring you to this guy.
Yep.
And then they go to that guy and he's like, hey, let me bring you to this guy.
Yep.
And then they bring you to like 9 other guys and you just walk out with not what you wanted.
Yeah.
And that would be my day.
Right. And I swear to God, and I got at the end of it, I got a email that was like, okay, here's a repair for your Joy-Con. And I'm like,
it's not the freaking Joy-Con. So send back an all cap email.
That's why I'm like, yo, dude, I don't know what I'm getting. I'm fucked. Metroid Dread came out the same day. I've been playing that. It's the best Metroid game that came out so far. It is still super hard, like most Metroid games, but it's way easier than any of the others. And I still see people complaining that it's goddamn hard.
They're just bad.
No,
you're a pro. You're just better.
I'm a pro.
You're just better. I'm just better.
There's these new things called Emmys. They're like giant robots.
Yep.
You cannot kill them. No matter, there's no way to kill them.
So they're like the robots from Mandalorian?
Yes.
The last two episodes where they just could not die?
They have literal chase scenes where they put a filter on it, makes it look like a horror movie.
Oh, God.
And you just run. If they grab you, you have a split second to hit the counter button. If you don't hit it right, it's automatic game over.
Instant death.
And even in the tutorial, it tells you getting the counter is supposed to be a last-ditch effort because...
So pretty much just don't get caught.
That's the whole point.
Because you're not going to get the counter off.
Dude, it is so scary when it sees you and the music starts playing and you're running down just a hall and there's like things to slide under, but it gets as thin as you and goes under too and just... There's no stopping these fucking things. They're terrifying.
So you are indeed not better.
It's dreadful, yeah.
it's dreadful.
But I would still fight three Emmys before I ever had to talk to a Nintendo technician ever again. Because I have no idea what's going on.
You got a better shot at beating those pieces of shit than getting that Switch back.
Literally.
So you already sent it back?
Already sent it back. So in 2 to 3
weeks. Say goodbye. You should have said your goodbyes to it.
Yeah. I better start looking for restocks of it.
It's been a good hour.
Yeah. And the worst part is I played for like 5 minutes on that OLED screen. And now that I've seen it on the OLED screen, looking at the normal screen makes me feel like such a piece of shit. It's like such a weird first world problem, but it's still like, God damn it.
Poor you, huh?
Yeah. All right, let's take a short break and be back with the news. All right, we're back with the quick news. Rick Grimes has joined Fortnite, is in a purchasable skin. Returning with him is Daryl Dixon and Michonne. The 90s show is in development in Netflix, and we'll see the return of Kitty and Red Foreman as they watch Eric and Donna's daughter, Leah Foreman. I don't think it's going to be good.
That's so funny they named it Leah, though. Leah,
there's, again, like, you're right, where Donna's a feminist, right? There's no shot she would have let Eric
She's literally all about, like, not having kids and settling down, like, that quick. But they did have their little, like, love story get back, so I could see why.
He was gone for a couple years.
Only one, right?
Well, whatever. Yeah. It was 2 years, a year, but, like...
Do you know how many, like, crazy non... Like, how many times they fuck up the timeline in... The 70s show?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like,
there's like six Thanksgiving episodes or something like that.
Yes,
there's,
and it's like, only 3 years.
In a 3 year span.
Yes. Yeah,
no, it's crazy. It's almost like they celebrate it twice a year.
Yeah.
So it's like, it makes no sense. There's like four Christmas episodes, but there's only three Christmases.
Yep.
Yeah, it's stupid.
There's only two Halloweens. None of
it's
makes
still
sense.
A great show, though.
Oh, it's one of the best.
And the Halloween ones are just mad funny.
Where the fuck is it, though, on any streamable? I know Netflix lost the rights to it a while ago, but how has no one grabbed it?
It's not on, like, Paramount or anything?
Nothing. It's on nothing. And then if you want to buy it on Amazon, it's over $200 because the seasons are, like, $22 each, they're and there's bugging.
Yeah, eight seasons, I think.
White slip-on van sales have spiked by 7,800% since the release of Squid Game.
Really?
Because they wear the white vans.
I haven't seen it.
Resident Evil 7 becomes the first game in the franchise to ship 10 million copies. Now, that's different than selling 10 million copies. It's shipped 10 million copies, which means they're at retailers. But still a good sign. And then we got our first trailer release for the Resident Evil film. Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon Village or Raccoon City. Have you seen the new trailer?
I have not.
Honestly, does not look bad. It, obviously, way better than the previous Resident Evil film franchise. This one's supposed to basically be a reboot. And follow the games more.
You would think that this
is
something they'd be able to do good by now.
Yes, 100%. Like, especially the first game that takes place in the mansion.
Yeah.
It doesn't... I will say the CGI looked horrible in the trailer, but I don't know if it's an early... You know how they always work on it and make it look better?
What was CGI'd about it? Like, the zombies?
Yeah, the monsters. So the
those
zombies,
are tough, but...
The zombies don't look bad. It's like the giant monsters they show.
Yeah.
Those look horrible.
It sucks, though, because, like... I always be watching those shows like the Makeup Wars or the Face Offs or like those type of shits.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see some crazy ass monsters and shit come out, but like it must be tough to like it takes like whatever 6-8 hours to paint that.
Yep.
And then you probably got limited time before it sweats away.
Yep.
So like it'd be tough
and
to
how
shoot.
How expensive is that?
Oh, it has to be.
Yeah.
The cost are probably outrageous. But some of these movies have crazy budgets.
Right. 100%.
And if you spend less time in stupid areas like with CGI and you spend it on like real quality looking like monsters, it might pay off.
But the
it's tough.
Like a show like Makeoff or something, right? Like they show the monster.
Yeah.
In this, they show the monster, then shoot it in the face.
And then they have to do stuff. You know, they move around and shit. They're doing a lot more than just modeling for the post. But still, though. Even if you just did the face and like CGI'd the body or whatever you had to do. Like just make the faces look like crazy.
So, again, the zombies look fine. It's there's, you know, like remember the dogs?
Yeah.
Those don't look good.
CGI monster dogs?
Yeah, it's tough.
Teen Wolf movie, though.
Can't wait.
That's going to be something.
Yeah, we'll see.
Dude, come on.
No.
I'm ready.
Sabrina Spellman will make a cameo in season 6 of Riverdale. Previous seasons have mentioned Greendale and Riverdale in the two shows. They take place
like
in the same
universe. The one from the Netflix?
Yes.
You know they're remaking the old one, right?
Are they really? Of Sabrina?
Yeah.
Well, because obviously this one was way different.
I think it's going to be about her child.
Oh, so they're not remaking the old one. They're
well, I mean, kind of. They're like rebooting it.
Okay.
It is going to be the OG Sabrina, though.
Oh, like not the Archie Comics version of her. So like
no,
the
like
sitcom
one. That show, yeah, like with the cat and the two old ladies.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
The old one. When we were younger.
Yeah.
They're rebooting that, but I think she's going to be like the mom
sitcom-y.
Of the daughter now.
Okay. I got you.
I just seen it the other day that it was like announced.
That's going to be weird. Probably.
It seemed all right.
And then WandaVision spinoff in development starring Katherine Heigl's Agatha Harkness.
I've seen that, yeah.
We don't need that. Do you even want to see that?
I don't know what they're doing it for. I mean, she was cool, though.
She was cool, but like, so we're going to get like a Salem witch trial version of a Marvel show?
Maybe it'll go more into her backstory.
Well, like, that's what her backstory is,
Her backstory seemed a little complicated with the whole sacrifices and all
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So I feel like it'd be interesting. I feel like she really gave Wanda a whooping at first.
But they're getting two spinoff of a spinoff of a spinoff that... Do we want any of it?
There was supposed to be... I heard rumors that there was, before, obviously, our sad Chadwick Boseman news, there was, like, spinoffs for him to be Star-Lord as a spinoff.
Yes, they were gonna do, they were going to do a spinoff of Star-Lord.
Obviously animated, but still, he obviously would have been the voice.
Yeah, which they probably and still
probably
will do.
Probably would have been dope as hell.
They'll probably still do it.
I still haven't seen that finale of What If, though.
I've dropped off What If. I don't care
just
anymore.
Just watch 8 and 9. Just watch the one with Ultron where he goes crazy.
All right.
It's absolutely insane. And the fight in it is like watching an anime. It's fucking nuts.
All right. So
he just absolutely bodies everybody.
The only
insane.
Good thing is it's 30 minutes. So
even the Party Thor one was solid. The one before that, one was decent.
I'll take a look.
Watch 7, 8 in this finale because I haven't seen the finale yet, but I heard it was crazy.
I don't know. It's like New Avengers.
I heard it was crazy.
All right. First big story of the week, Kingdom Hearts Sora is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate's final DLC character. This is by Jason Finelli on GameSpot.com.
Do I have a blank draft here? I don't have any of this on here.
You might have a blank draft. Let me see it.
I got none of that on here.
Oh, you have my notes. That's why.
I was like, yo, what is it? Everything you're talking about, I'm here not seeing it. Yeah. Oh, here we go.
I'm glad you came prepared, all right?
Finally equipped it.
The final DLC character for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate has been unveiled as game director Masahiro Sakurai announced Sora for Kingdom Hearts as the last addition to the roster. The final 40-minute presentation was dedicated to Kingdom Hearts Hero, showing off his moves, stage, musical selections, and more. Sakurai revealed that Sora is the most requested Smash Bros. Character ever, including when Nintendo ran the Smash Bros. Character ballot in 2014, which is fugazi, because that motherfucker ran that ballot for the last DLC character of Super Smash Bros. 4 on the Wii U, and then tried to pretend it was Bayonetta who won the goddamn thing, which there was no way she won. There was no way.
I wanted Sora for a long time.
Sora's special moves include multiple magic spells, Viagra, Thunder, Blizzard, in a rotation fashion to be specific, as well as Sonic Blade, Aerial Sweep, and Counter Attack. Every sword character gets the goddamn Counter Attack. I hate that.
I mean, Sora's the GOAT.
His final smash is called Sealing the Keyhole, but it was not shown during the presentation. But then he showed it in battle.
Hollow Bastion,
the final world.
Stage.
So it's cool, but it's also one of those ones that's
just
a floating...
That's where you get the Oblivion Blade, though.
That's the only thing. So Sora has multiple fits in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they give him the normal Keyblade in all the fits. I wish they would have switched his Keyblades for the other fits. Story stage is Hollow Bastion, the final world in the original Kingdom Hearts. The stage floats around the entire structure before shifting to Dive Into the Heart, which features stained glass style graphics featuring a number of Kingdom Hearts heroes. It's funny because they did the stained glass that they have from the games, and they removed all mention of any Disney characters. So you know they can't show it. The only reference you have to Disney is the Mickey Mouse
keychain
attached to the Keyblade. Other than that, it looks like they cannot mention Disney characters at all.
Yeah, really turned Mickey Mouse into such a savage.
Everyone thought he was the GOAT when he has the black cape on and you just see him...
Do you remember when he shows up and just fucks everyone up?
Yo, he just
up?
Destroys. He's so gross in that game for no reason.
You told me you think Kingdom Hearts is still like
it
the greatest game ever.
It has to be the greatest game of all time. I don't care what anyone says.
What about the story?
That too.
Dude,
the whole thing was crazy.
9 songs from Kingdom Hearts series will be featured in their original
great
arrangements,
music.
Including, God, I don't even know how to pronounce this, Sherzario Dinode in Hand in Hand. If you have a save file for Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory on your Switch, a swing arrangement of Dearly Beloved will also be included. The presentation also unveiled the last batch of downloadable Mii Fighter costumes, which include Doom Slayer from Doom, an Octoling wig, and Judge from Cat Hat from Splatoon. Sakurai also confirmed amiibo figures for Character Pack 2. Sora joins Min Min from ARMS, Steve from Minecraft, Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII, Pyra and Mithra from Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and Kazuya from Tekken. In Challenger Pack 2, the first Challenger Pack consisted of Persona 5's Joker, the hero from Dragon Quest, Banjo-Kazooie, Terry Bogard from Fatal Fury, and the King of Fighters, and Byleth from Fire Emblem Three Houses. So this is the final character, supposedly. I don't know if they, at one point, randomly are like, oh, we're doing another. I don't know why you wouldn't just keep it going, but if this is the final
character. They definitely found a good
character
to end it.
That's what I was going to say. If this is the final one they do.
And the little trailer for it was nuts.
That was crazy hype. That was I'm just
was
so
it as
glad.
Hype as Sephiroth though?
I don't.
That was
kind
nuts.
Of, kind. If you think about it,
they were both crazy,
right? stuff. I think Sephiroth had the cooler trailer. I just don't know which one is the bigger released character. You know what I mean? Like, if he's the number one requested character.
The thing about Sephiroth, though, was he was unexpected.
Completely.
So, I feel like that's what made him nuts, because people have been wanting Sora for a long time.
But that's the other thing, though. They had told us so many times. Like, Nintendo themselves personally said, there's no way we
need
Sora.
There's no way, yeah.
Like, Disney says no. We're working with Square Enix. And I don't know how they worked it or how they finally got it to work, but they got him.
Why can't they give us a Kingdom Hearts movie?
Do you want a Kingdom Hearts movie?
You don't think they could do number one in a movie? I think they could.
Animated?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, probably. Honestly.
I think
honestly,
it'd be dope as hell.
And if it would be Disney.
It would be hard to fit all that in a movie, but yeah. I'm sure they could find a way.
Well, so it's weird too, right? Like, I was reading the rules about when Square Enix and Disney made the rules on how to do this like crossover game. Like, their characters, unless they originally wield a sword, can't wield a sword, which is why they invented the Keyblade.
Yeah.
Because it's just a giant key instead of a sword, yeah. Which Mickey...
Makes it a lot more friendly.
Right, and if you think about it, Goofy uses a shield instead of an actual
weapon.
And
they never actually, like, kill anyone. They just kind of, like, get explode. The darkness out of you.
Yes.
Like, it's all literally about getting the darkness out of everyone. It's not even, like, they just try to make it, like, a light and dark story.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with, like,
Star Wars.
You don't kill anyone, like... The only scary person is Sephiroth, because he'll just kill you.
And he's a what? Like a secret boss?
Yeah, you don't even have to fight him. It really must be... That's what I'm saying. To get all those characters in one game must have been such a fucking challenge.
Yes.
To get Disney to allow that is just insane.
That's
the fact that some guy brought this story to them and was like, yo, I'm trying to mix this. And they were like, yeah!
I don't even know whose idea was.
That's what makes it the greatest game. Like, who comes up with that? Who comes up with that story?
Hey, I want to take Final Fantasy.
It just merges all those characters into it and makes it work.
And... One works. After you start getting to two, and they're like, hey, this is my nobody. And
I see that. But, I mean, two I'll let slide because two is just insane.
Yeah.
Getting Riku back was all
we
needed to
key,
do.
Right?
But the story in number one was just nuts.
Yeah. No,
it was great.
Story for one is actually really
and
good.
And two is great. I mean, it got a little confusing.
It
but the
super
fights
confusing.
Were fucking nuts.
Even, like, Chain of Memories is really good.
Chain of Memories was the last one I'll play, like, after two.
Yep.
Because I don't care about
Doesn't
that fucking
Chain of
dream.
Memories happen between one and
yeah,
two?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it is. I don't care about that dream drop distance shit. Like,
but I heard it's good.
I'm not playing that. I left it at Chain of Memories. It's the only Game Boy type shit I'll play.
Yeah, yeah. Which they've remade, and you can play on a PlayStation.
I don't want to hear it. It wasn't the same. I'm not doing that card-style fighting.
I don't mind
it was cool
that
for Chain of Memories.
I don't mind
it
that.
It was cool back then. I'll let it slide, but it not any further.
Let's see. Grand Theft Auto Trilogy is getting remastered for PC and consoles, including Nintendo Switch. See, I found out the reason why every goddamn news place puts Nintendo Switch in the title specifically is because the word Nintendo Switch gets them so many more clicks.
Oh, I'm sure.
Just the fact that you include it just for the clicks.
Clickbait.
This is by Cameron Faulkner on TheVerge.com. After several rumors, Rockstar Games confirmed that Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas are getting HD remasters. They'll be released in a package called Grand Theft Auto Trilogy, the Definitive Edition. The collection is also coming to PC via the Rockstar Games launcher, PlayStation, Xbox, and more surprisingly, the Nintendo Switch will host them too. It will come to iOS and Android in the first half of 2022. Price and release date info hasn't been shared, but it's supposed to be this year from my understanding, and soon. I believe the leaks say somewhere in November, so we should be finding out more about this very shortly. The company hasn't explicitly mentioned what kind of technical improvements were made, nor has it shared any footage yet. But it says that each of the games has gotten across-the-board upgrades, including graphical improvements and modern gameplay enhancements. The company chose to take faithful route for its remasters, leaving the classics look and feel of the originals, how they were presented on PS2. In case you're someone who grew up with Grand Theft Auto V and haven't had an easy way to play these earlier influential games, this seems like a great time to jump in. It might feel weird to play a Grand Theft Auto game that doesn't let you swap between protagonists, but the adventures of Claude, the silent protagonist in Grand Theft Auto III, Tommy Vercetti in Vice City, and CJ in San Andreas are still very much worth... See, San Andreas is the one I think I played. Because
I played
remember CJ.
Heavy.
I swear it was just San Andreas I played. Because I always thought if you have one, you don't... Because I never played the story.
Oh, no, they're all so different.
I just took a car and tried to get as many stars as I could.
San Andreas was the first one you could swim in.
Okay.
So that was big.
A big improvement
Vice
at the
City
time.
In 3 are very similar.
Yeah.
But like... Vice City just looked a little better.
Yeah.
And you could do a little bit more stuff.
Yeah.
But 3 was still good. It's just terrible graphics.
Isn't it crazy we're talking about, like, oh, this is the first one you can swim in.
That was great. That was a big jump.
Yes.
And then, I mean, the cheat codes, when you used to do the go back and do the cheat codes, San Andreas was the one to do.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because you could spawn like a helicopter. Yes. You couldn't do that in those other ones.
RPGs. I remember like getting RPGs.
Helicopter.
A plane, right?
Planes, like blimps. Yep. You could do whatever the fuck you wanted.
That's what.
Swim.
And I never played the story. I would just play it as a sandbox.
You could go to like the Empire State Building, like jump in the water and be fine. Mm-hmm. You could do that in other shit.
Yep.
But three was cool. Your guy does never talk, though.
I don't know why. So they announced it with a trailer, but there's no gameplay footage or anything. Like, why didn't you show us what it looks like?
And 3 was always cool because they had those little freaking pills on the streets, the slow-mo pills. So slow-mo you could just pills. You'd run into it. It would make everything slow-mo. So when you go beat people up, it's in slow-mo, and it's just mad funny. They go flying when you punch them in slow-mo.
I don't remember that at all.
I used to love... You drive into it,
yep.
And then the cops chasing you were in slow-mo, so you could just do whatever you wanted.
You're like Neo almost.
Yeah, no, it's lit. That was dope. But you're slow-mo too.
Okay.
So like, it's just funny when you go to punch someone and they just go flying.
So what do they say, that you're just on drugs?
I don't know. You just run into this little like red and blue pill and it would just turn everything slow-mo.
I don't remember.
Vice City was cool too. I had them all.
This week
I wouldn't call these games influential.
Well, influential to, I mean,
the... Running over... pedestrian.
But it started the whole, like, really what Grand Theft Auto was.
No, absolutely.
Because before, I think it was top-down view, wasn't it? The older ones?
I think 3 is top-down.
Is it?
That's why it was so shitty.
Okay.
But, like, other than that, it was...
Yeah.
I feel like you see them just... Maybe when you're driving the car, it's top-down. I don't know, because when you're just, like, out, I feel like it's not...
Yeah.
It's, like, third-person.
Yep.
I feel like you can just see your guy, like, going up
the... I don't even remember what the original Grand Theft Auto or the second one looks like. I just remember, like, when I played Grand Theft Auto as a kid, it was always, like, the trilogy. But it was, like, specifically, I remember CJ.
I don't know if there is a GTA 1 and 2.
There has to be if there's a third.
I've never heard of them. And my MC never had them, so I feel like it'd be...
It might have been on the PC, though.
I mean, at PC back then, GTA 3 came out in like
GTA 98.
I don't know.
GTA 1 came out in 97.
On what?
PC, looks like.
How was it PC at that time? What PC was running GTA 1 in 97?
Well, again, it's not going to look like what you remember it to.
I know, but still. It must have been one of those shitty
ass... It was on MS-DOS.
Yeah, I my dad used to have a
couple... It is. It's top-down. It looks like absolute garbage.
My dad used to have a couple of those type of games. I feel like I had a GTA for, like, my Game Boy.
Yeah, so there was one on the DS called Chinatown Wars that people say is good.
It was stupid.
And then Grand Theft Auto 2 looks like it was a PlayStation 1 game, possibly. What is this?
I feel like I would have had it.
PlayStation and Dreamcast and Game Boy Color. Maybe there's... And again, this is top-down, so it looks completely different.
My dad used to have these, like, shitty old games that you'd plug into, like, you'd put them into the computer.
Yes.
And it would be that type of shit. Like, there was one... I don't remember what it was called, but it was almost like... It almost looked like a horror game.
Yep.
But it was, like, horror game mixed with Max Payne. Like, that old style.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Run around and just shoot people.
Yeah, run and gun.
But, like... I'm assuming that's what that GTA was like.
Yes.
You pop it in there, and you just get to play the shitty-ass game.
And
that was, like, before PS1 was, like, big.
Yeah.
Like, that was that might have been the year before it came out in general. Because I remember getting a PS1 very shortly after that. My dad had it.
Grand Theft Auto 2 released in 1999. So we were... I was 4.
But when did PS1 drop? Like,
01, 2000 PS1 or something like release that? Release date. God.
94. 90. Whoa. So it was already out.
Yeah.
Before those even came out.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's why I feel like it was weird, because I feel like my dad used to play those little PC games more than he'd play the PS1.
PlayStation.
Until like 2000, PS1 started popping off.
When did the PS2 come out? Are you sure it's not PS2? PS2? Or maybe he was able to get one cheap at that point.
No, he definitely had one like when we were young. I just don't remember what we
played. PlayStation 2 came out in 2000. Yeah, see, whenever you think about old systems, you almost like push them back further than they actually are.
We didn't have the PS2 though until like 03.
Yeah, see, that's
Mike's
why.
MC was like 4, like 12 probably when they got the PS2.
Yeah.
So like my dad was definitely playing that PS1. I just don't know what was out for it at the time.
This week we also got Kingdom Hearts 1.5 plus 2.5 Remix, Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter, and Kingdom Hearts 3 plus Remind announced for the Nintendo Switch.
Yep.
They're all cloud version.
Yeah, it's
so dumb. Like, 1 and 2 are PS2 games. They're doing a remaster of PS2 games, and they're saying it can be on the Switch. But Square Enix is like, these have to be cloud versions. That doesn't... And those are games that people were are going to want to take on the go. Those long JRPG games.
Yeah, once you leave the Wi-Fi zone.
You're screwed.
No more play for you.
And it's going to be all laggy and whatnot.
Yeah, God. Yeah, if you're not just sitting in your house, it's going to play like shit.
It's such a dumb decision.
I'll go dust off the old PS2 and I'll get back to the classics.
If anything, just play it on your PS4. You can buy it for like $10.
Buy what?
Actually, I bet you can get it on your PC.
That's better.
Yeah.
PS4's not getting undusted. I'd bust out my PS2 before I busted out the PS4.
Did you see the giant Twitch leak that happened?
Once I move
this
upstairs,
week?
That thing's getting thrown in the closet somewhere.
Somewhere else?
Because it's taking space up on my desk that I don't need.
Once you move upstairs, you move on up in life.
Dust in the closet. It's going right in the closet.
Did you see the giant Twitch leak that happened this week? All right, so Twitch get big. To get big Twitch payouts, you have to be among the top 0.01% of streamers. This is by Tyler Wildy on PC Gamer. Some of Twitch's internal records are now public knowledge following a major data breach and the online distribution of documents that, among other things, appear to reveal how much money top streamers earned directly from Twitch streaming over the past 2 years. The numbers have not been disputed for the most part, but they don't necessarily reflect each streamer's actual total income. But we heard in our knowledge of Twitch, the unconfirmed figures represent each streamer's cut of revenue earned from the channel's subscription, in-stream ads, bits, 1 cent tokens, and possible Twitch built-in bounty system, which connects streamers with sponsorship opportunities. Those are some of the many ways streamers make money. They can also negotiate their own sponsorship, sell merch, use affiliate links, and so on. The leaked rankings on the top Twitch earners shouldn't be treated as definitive. So here are the top 10 Twitch payouts as between August 2019 and September 2021.
What's good with all these data breaches?
Dude,
It's sickening.
Apparently, everyone has to like change their...
Like the guy that just hacked T-Mobile and his reason was just because I could and it was your security was
so
that bad.
Supposedly...
But he admitted like that, you know, I just breached your entire fucking... I'm not going to comment whether or not the people that asked me if I wanted to sell that information if I went through with it.
Yeah.
You know, your security's just that bad.
Yep.
I just had to hack it. Like, what?
This is a similar situation.
What is
the
mindset with these people that are hacking these?
The guy who did it was, or woman was like, hey, this is like a big company that I want to fuck over, so I'm just doing it.
Just to fuck it over.
Yes.
Like, why?
But here are the top 10 Twitch payouts. These are single people. Actually, no, because Critical Role, which is a D&D channel.
I only know two.
So it's a group.
Three people on here.
They made $9.6 million. XQC, $8.4 million. Summit 1G, $5.8 million. TFU, $5.3 million.
That makes sense.
Nick Merckx, $5 million. Who apparently Nick Merckx just signed the largest streamer, like out of all companies, deal ever. They haven't confirmed a number.
I don't
number.
Know who he's with.
He just signed with Twitch.
Oh, yeah, but I don't. He's not like in a competitive team.
No,
like
no. I think he's just a streamer.
He's just a streamer. Yeah.
But he's supposedly this is just the numbers going around. It's around, from my understanding, somewhere in the points of 50 million. I think a year, though. That's what I don't understand.
Some big Apex, too.
Yeah.
He's been playing a lot of Apex.
Ludwig at 3.3 million.
Timmy the Tat.
Tim the Tat, man. 3.3.
Too.
He did.
He just signed a big ass deal.
This is between August 2019.
No, yeah. I was just saying.
Right. He did. He
just signed
a
big ass deal
with
YouTube. So he's probably doing real solid.
Altor, 3 million. Aaron Play, 3 million.
Orin Play. Final Fantasy 10 shout out.
And Lurk at 3 million.
It's a good thing they didn't leak my information.
Yeah.
I would have been higher than all these suckers.
So the revenue drops off pretty quickly as the list goes on. A longer copy of the unverified list seen by PC Gamer shows that the 100th most successful Twitch streamer makes approximately $400,000 per year from Twitch payouts.
Must be nice, huh?
At the 200th, the yearly gross income is around $270,000.
I think I can get in the 200th range.
Oh, and be completely happy.
I think I'll be fine.
When you get into the 400s, streamers are making less than 150. See, they're like, oh,
1,000th place, $85,000 per year.
Yes.
Sign me up.
Right.
I can make 1,000.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Me and Gags grinding hard tonight on Apex. We're hitting Predator.
We'll be straight.
What a junior software engineer makes in California, depending on where they're hired, is the same of which. Dude, I would rather be the 1,000th place streamer than a junior software engineer
and make that up.
Right? You know how hard.
I'd much rather take the
software engineer must work compared to, all right, guys, what we're doing today is playing 10 rounds of 8.
You can't.
You can't say something like that on the podcast and try to make it seem like streaming's not hard.
No, because you're gonna get
some asshole that's gonna hit you up and be like, "You think streaming's easy, big guy, Mr. Tough Guy?"
It's true though.
You think this engineer works harder than me?
There's been quite a few people, streamers, who are now talking about their income, and when they talk about, hey, like when it says I make $4 million, I have a whole team that I have to pay, and then I do this, and you know, it's not I just stream. I have to work out deals, and
I mean, it's pretty much you just stream.
Yeah,
you wake up. Some guy I watched, he did a funny ass video. Because he signed a new deal with TSM,
mm-hmm.
and I think he was on Soar, which I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
But he did a video where he like wakes up and he's like, I got big news, guys. And he does like a whole video for it. It's like a 10-minute video. And he goes to the office, and when he's in the office, it's another guy that I watch,
mm-hmm.
and he's in his room, and he just wakes up from bed, and he's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I just signed with TSM. He's like, I'm here to play with you, man. It was just and I swear they used to hate each other. That's what made it so funny. Because I used to hear them talking shit about each other on each other's streams, and now they're signed with the same team. It's hilarious.
I honestly think streamers talk shit about each other publicly, but our friends privately, but do
I
it
don't
publicly.
Think so. I think half of them live in fucking 90 states away. It's crazy. Like,
but that's
one guy, you're like, oh, this guy seems like he's living in Cali. Yep. No, he's in like Alaska.
Yeah.
And he's playing with all his whole team is from Nebraska.
Yeah.
Like, they're all over the fucking place.
But that's what
I feel like they don't know each other at all in real life.
What gives you so much viewership, right? Are these rivalries. So if you have a fake rivalry going and you just shit talk, now you got fans that are rooting for you. You know, it's like having a team.
When I used to watch the chats, like people would come into and be like, yo, I was just in this guy's chat. He was talking hella shit about you. And then he's like, then the streamer will pull up their stream and start listening. And they're like, oh, he is talking shit about me. It's hilarious.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think some of that is planned.
I'm sure it is. But that's what made the video so funny, is because I swear I heard them talk shit about each other. Mm-hmm. And he was just in his room.
How does this make you? According to U.S. Census Bureau, the median U.S. household income in 2020 was $67,500. To make that much per year on Twitch, assuming you aren't bringing in money from sources not included in this data, you'd have to be one of Twitch's top 1,300 streamers right now. There are around 8.8 million active streamers on Twitch, which means you need to be in the top 0.015% of streamers to make the median U.S. household income from direct Twitch streaming. So here's the thing, right? We make fun of it, but there's almost 9 million people, so you have to be in the top 1,000. That's not fucking easy to do.
So the odds have now stood down. So we're really going to have to grind this week.
Yeah, we better hit that diamond apex.
I think it says here 2 to 12 hours a day streaming. So we're going to have to obviously quit the jobs and just dedicate.
What is your life at that point? If you're streaming for 12 hours a day, right? What does your life
literally
look like?
Wake up, go to the bathroom, do all your shit, eat some food, and then hop right on the game
for 12 hours. How do you even work out or do anything?
You don't.
Right,
you work out those hands by giving out hands.
Because you're gonna have to do 12 hours of streaming, sleep 8 hours, so that's 20 hours out of. So
the crazy part is, I see a lot of streamers I watch have kids.
Yes,
and it's like, how?
Yeah.
Do you manage to sit on that game for 12 hours?
You've been milking your kid so much. You act like the reason why you're not a streamer is your kid.
I'm lucky I even get an hour. I don't know how they're getting 12.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure your girl would let you stream for 12 hours if you were bringing in $200,000 a year.
Of course, but she'll never let me get the opportunity.
It's the reason. There you go.
It's good thing she doesn't listen to this podcast.
Xbox Cloud Gaming is now fully powered by faster Xbox Series X hardware. This is by Tom Warren on TheVerge.com. Microsoft Xbox Cloud Gaming Service, xCloud, is now fully powered by custom Xbox Series X hardware. Microsoft tells The Verge it recently completed the upgrade, which improves both frame rates and game load times for players streaming Xbox games over the web. While Microsoft has moved Xbox Cloud Gaming to 1080p and 60 frames per second streams in recent months, the company has yet to unlock the full potential of custom Xbox Series X hardware to deliver 4K streams. It's not clear when this will be available, but Microsoft has been moving towards delivering Xbox Cloud Gaming beyond just mobile devices and browsers. Microsoft is currently working on a dedicated Xbox app for TVs that will allow Xbox players to stream games without a console. Standalone streaming devices that you can plug into a TV or monitor are also planned, and it's reasonable to assume that there could be further upgrades to Xbox Cloud Gaming resolution to match this TV push. So I've started watching videos of people using the xCloud service. They don't even have crazy Wi-Fi. They show their ping rates and all this other stuff. And this damn thing works pretty damn well. You're not playing Call of Duty Online with your friends with this.
Yeah.
But you could easily, without a doubt, play any Final Fantasy game, any of the anything that doesn't need like perfect frame for frame. Yeah. Like a fighter is going to be a little bit difficult, but they were playing some fighters on it and it still was running.
I feel like a Mortal Kombat type game would probably look decent.
As again, I don't think you'll be able to play online well.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. So you can still play like split screen type.
Right. And imagine like when you buy a TV now, right? You don't even buy anything that you plug in to get Netflix on it. Right? Like the app is already built into the TV. Imagine you buy a TV that has an Xbox app already built into it, and all you need is a controller.
I feel like they're just like fighting with themselves though now, because it's like that's always been a thing. Do I need a console if I have a Fire Stick?
Yep.
Do I need a Fire Stick if I have a console?
Yeah.
And now it's like, now I can play games without the console.
Right.
So now it's almost like they're taking away from their direct sales for consoles.
Not if you're subscribed to Game Pass every month.
But even the Game Pass is such a steal.
Right.
It's like...
Right, but now...
But now I'm saving myself $500. I don't have to buy a console, and I'm just playing off the cloud.
Right, and but if you were, say, someone who was never going to buy an Xbox, and they got you for a Game Pass subscription, that's a win for them. And what does Netflix do every year? Think about what Netflix does to their subscription.
What's more important, though, the subscription or the $500 sale at 20 million people that bought
it? The subscription.
Is it?
Yes. If you think... If you can get... Think of, you did business, right? Where they have that like break even point and then the point, dude. You can get it's so much easier to get someone to sign up for a subscription in today's age than to get someone to buy a $500 box.
That's highly debatable because you pay that $500 one time,
right? But
people get pissed when Netflix raises its price.
But how many actually cancel?
I'm sure you'd be surprised. Especially when they started coming out with that, oh, now you can't sub out your fucking Netflix to 9 people.
Yeah,
oh, it's only two screen limited. People was zing, 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 cancel, well, so cancel, cancel.
They have a subscription one on Netflix that's like, all right, you can have up to 5 TVs.
And then it's bumped up to $20.
Yeah.
And people still bitch.
But that's what, where you might get,
people
say.
People hate subscriptions.
They hate it, but it's the new way everything's going.
You buy that Xbox one time, $500. You never pay anything monthly. You have your Netflix. You have all that shit, and you're never paying monthly.
Right, but I still need to buy the games at $60 a pop then.
You'll still have it forever.
Yes.
You don't need
shitty-ass
Wi-Fi to play it.
But so
I mean, you don't need great-ass Wi-Fi to play it.
Every game I play, right, I'm not going to be playing it forever.
Says who? You're playing Metroid games from like 1994 on your Switch. What are you talking about?
But I'm playing them because of a subscription service.
We're 42 and you're like, yo, let's go to GameStop and go pick up Pokemon Old Blue.
But
let's
replay it and let's rebeat it.
How many times have we done that?
But I'm playing those old games.
How many prices have we had?
Too many.
One at 16, one at 20. Hey, let's go back and buy some Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Aww.
It still happened.
Those are my Pokemon cards right there, that little book.
Exactly. We still do it.
That's where I think the subscription service is an easier sell than a $500 box.
What's the point of putting all that effort into the box?
Just because.
Just sell the service.
I think that's what they're getting to.
Like,
I think.
Just get rid of the box completely at
I
this
think
point.
That's where
just
it's going.
Make that fucking streaming thing just insane.
That's what I think they're trying to get to.
Which is what I said. I feel like it's the end of consoles.
It might
I
be.
Said that months ago. I feel like PC is going to take over. Anything PC, cloud, anything like that is taking over.
Yeah.
Consoles are going to be obsolete.
And I think
no
that's what Microsoft's
playing
working
a story
to.
Mode game anymore.
Ever.
It's just not happening.
Metroid Dread.
Besides that, Switch will still keep its thing going.
Well,
but
Nintendo
Xbox
never dies.
Yeah, Switch will stay. That'll probably
like
be the only console left.
Yeah,
that might be the last. That might be the end of an era.
Yeah,
the
honestly.
Console era.
Again, it's.
I say by 2030 they're obsolete.
Consoles?
Yeah. Besides the Switch.
I don't know. PS5.
10 years. 9 years. I guarantee you. PS. There will be no.
All right. Nine
no
years?
More
all
PS.
Right, right.
PS. Anything. There will be no more.
I thought you
Xbox.
Said 23. 2023.
Just hard consoles that will be gone. I promise.
Think about how many they make now that are just discless, right?
Yeah.
They just want you to buy it digitally.
They're
or...
eliminating the disc.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll eliminate the console because you'll just buy it on the cloud.
Yes. Once streaming is that good,
there'll
like
be never
said.
Any more confusion about, oh, I need this external hard drive to download all my old games on it because my new hard drive can't take old games. They'll all be in your on your username. Just whenever you sign into something new, bang, you 100%. Got them all.
And then someone will breach our system and then
and
have
then,
all our data.
Which is going to happen. But
those Russian bots work so hard, they deserve
what's
it.
What's the date today? October 11th?
October
11th. October 11th, 2021. I declare 9 years from now, no more consoles.
So in 2030? It's
2030,
it's
October
possible.
11th. We're going to talk about this.
How long do you think a normal console lifetime
is?
Like, you know, like how long from PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3? Like 8 years?
Wasn't it usually like 6 to 8 years?
Something yeah, like something like that.
Because PS3, I think, came out in 2010 or something like that. And you just said the PS2 came out in 2000, right?
Yes.
So that's like 10-year gap. I think maybe it came out in 07, 08.
PS3 released in 2006.
Six, yes.
So 6-year gap.
6-year gap.
And then
PS4 came out in like 2013, 2014.
Was I graduating high school when that came out?
Which would be 2013.
Don't date me. Yeah, November 15, 2013. So I was already out of high
school. Another 7-year
gap.
Yeah,
I was out of high school.
Another 7-year gap.
Yeah.
So it's all around the 6-7 years.
So, right. So no PlayStation 6, right?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Honestly.
Because there was so much problems getting it out.
Yeah.
You can blame the chip shortage all you want, but yeah. I'm sure there'll be another fucking shortage 9 years from now.
Yep.
Especially with the way technology...
Yeah, with COVID-32.
The more technology goes up,
yep.
the more chance of us not being able to get these things goes up.
Yeah, 100%. So
I could easily see it just...
That's what I'm saying. So
all PC, all laptop, all cloud streaming.
Yep.
Your fucking TV will just be playing whatever you want at this point.
Yep.
They'll merge PS5 and Xbox Store. You just play whatever any game you want at your disposal.
That's
and they just merge all sales. You know how much money they'd make?
But here's the thing, right? Do you think PlayStation finally makes a subscription service like Microsoft? Or do you think they instead make you buy each game individually, digitally only, though? You know, like, you don't need that subscription service. You can move away from the box and still sell these things digitally.
Yeah.
And it just has a launcher that opens up your player for it. Almost like Steam, right?
Yeah.
It's possible. I don't like it.
I mean, if they made... You know how they... Like, if they made the PS5 Game Pass, like, Xbox, and I could get it on my laptop, I'd do it.
Yeah.
I'd sign up for it. Even if it was a subscription, I'd sign up for it.
Right, because you'd still want to play
it. I already signed up for the... Xbox Game Pass, and I probably pay like 2 games on it, and I still sign up for the PS5 one. It just gives you a better way to get exclusives.
You're what they're looking for, the dude who will sign up for it and then never play.
Never use it.
You're right.
I'm absolutely the target.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm giving out ideas.
All right, so this next story I included just for you because you like it so much. Marvel's Avengers starts selling XP boosters, angering players.
Angering players. What a surprise. What a headline.
What is that, like 10 people upset?
What a headline.
Michael McRoeder on Polygon.com. Marvel's Avengers now selling XP boosters, paid consumable items called Heroes Catalysts in the game's marketplace as part of the update to Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics game that rolled out Thursday. The change isn't sitting well with Marvel's Avengers players, who say the developer has gone back on its pledge to only offer paid microtransactions for cosmetic items like skins and other flourishes. The latest patch for Marvel's Avengers updated the in-game marketplace to add a consumable category, which now sells hero catalysts and fragment extractors, two consumable items that already existed in the game previously. The marketplace only sold cosmetic items like costumes and emotes. You can purchase a consumable with a one-day duration for 100 credits, a three-day duration for 250 credits, or a seven-day duration for 500 credits. The developer explained on its big announcement, the marketplace changed. Square Enix currently sells a pack of 500 credits for $5. So 5 days for $5 or 3 days for $5, depending on which of the bundles you buy. While the highest price bundle, $100, offers 1,300 credits. I would love to know who's dropping $100 on this game. Especially because the DLC, from my understanding, is free. Like the actual DLC.
They're tree. As Gordon Ramsay would say, delusional.
Delusional. The game's new consumable purchase quickly angered portions of the Marvel's Avengers player base who say that Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics have destroyed player trust and broken promises on pay-to-win mechanics by selling consumables. Many point to the game's recent addition to Xbox Game Pass as a catalyst to sell consumable XP boosters to new audience. That's another thing. If you have Game Pass, this is now a free game to play.
Yep.
All right. Marvel's Avengers consumable XP boosters follow a change to experience gained in the game that the Crystal Dynamics rolled out earlier this year. In March, developers said it was slowing XP gain and therefore how quickly players leveled up their Avengers heroes to avoid overwhelming. That sounds even more sus that you slow down how much XP you can get just to end up selling an item that speeds up how much XP you get.
Yeah, because weren't people complaining though that you were maxing out too fast?
Yeah.
So that they slowed down the XP gain because they're like, I'm already too jacked.
Yeah.
And now they're selling something that'll help you boost it back up because then people will probably complain that it took too long to level up.
This is so... Well, I could understand maybe giving out consumables. Giving out, not selling them at certain times because, you know, like they have the War for Wakanda expansion that comes out. So if that brings in a new player... from my understanding, you need to complete the story mode to get to that.
Yeah.
So you can use these to boost your guy up so you can run through the story mode to get to the content you actually want to play.
Yeah, no, they're just crazy.
This honestly...
I don't know who's buying that credit package.
The $100 one?
$99.
Dude, it's also like...
That's disgusting.
It's got to be like...
For 13,000 credits.
This sounds like a last-ditch effort to get any money from this game at this point because it's just tanked so hard. And we still don't have Spider-Man yet, right? Like, Spider-Man's supposed to release this year, supposedly.
We're going to get Spider-Man movie before we get Spider-Man in the game.
Yeah. There's no way they wait until the Spider-Man
movie. We'll
get
Spider-Man and Venom and Carnage on screen together before we get Spider-Man in this game.
True. Honestly.
Just sad to say.
Yeah. Let's see. Ed Boon is appearing at DC Fandom, sparking Injustice 3 speculation. This is by James Troughton on thegamer.com. Ed Boon, the creative director of Injustice 2 and Mortal Kombat 11, is appearing at DC Fandom, sparking rumors and theories that Injustice 3 will be revealed later this month. I just want to say, this DC Fandom gets better and better every year.
We were just talking about Injustice 3 with that whole leak.
Leak, yes.
And that title seemed legit.
Yeah. So, 100%.
And I'd be real pumped because I liked Injustice 2.
They're good games.
I like them.
NetherRealms makes good fighting games, right? Like
I honestly like it better than the Mortal Kombat because the ability to combo after is a lot easier.
Yep.
When I was playing Blue Beetle, I could get people in the air for like the entire match. Like they just couldn't land. Just body them. Because you could just do combo after combo after combo.
Do you know who's playing the Blue Beetle?
Right into the combo.
You know who's playing the Blue Beetle in either the movie or the show? It's the kid from the new Karate Kid show. Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
You know the Hispanic kid?
Are you saying that like you haven't watched it?
I forgot the name of it for a second.
He was like, Cobra Karate Kid.
The main kid.
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Oh, you've never seen Cobra Kai?
I've just seen clips on Facebook.
Oh, man. The main character in that show.
You don't even know the name of the show.
You don't need to know the name.
I thought the main character was like... Danny LaRusso's daughter.
No.
Son.
No, it technically follows the guy from Cobra Kai. I'm trying to think of his name now, too. You know the one who loses in the first Karate Kid?
Johnny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny's the main character.
Yeah, I know. I've seen him. And I've seen the clips and shit.
His star pupil is going to be Blue Beetle.
Didn't Danny LaRusso steal his girl?
LaRusso stole his girl?
Yeah.
In the first one.
In the show.
No, LaRusso's married. In the show.
I've seen a clip, though. They were at, like, it looked like a gala or something, or, like, some type of, like, event.
Yep.
And
Johnny
was with someone. Maybe he was with the girl.
He is. He's with the girl from the first one.
From the first one. Yes. LaRusso was with.
Yes. But LaRusso met.
He was like,
married.
Oh, that's my ex-girl or something, or my ex-wife or something like that. To ex-girl. A new girl. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is an awkward reunion.
Well, they're kind of friends in the show.
Who?
Johnny and LaRusso.
Kinda.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I've seen
frenemies.
I seen them tag team some guy and just beat him up in the garage.
Yeah.
They just beat up like six thugs and just beat up this guy with a karate kick.
That show has so many random fights for no reason. Like, just like,
I
it would
like
never
a,
happen
I
in real
like
life.
I seen like a clip of, I'm assuming it was someone's daughter having a dream that some girl beat the shit out of her and like drowned her in the pond.
I don't know if that was a dream or if that really happened. I can't remember.
No,
now.
She ended up waking up and was
okay.
But I was like, oh my God, what the hell? Is that aggressive? When she beat the shit out of her, just drowned her. I was like, what
the amount of high school brawls that happened in this show where kids
it's
like.
It's just like us when
finally,
we went to school.
Yeah, for sure. None of this.
What? You don't remember that every day? Tournament. Just karate tournaments?
Dude, it's a wild show that just gets even more wild. All right. For context, Fandome is a relatively new, entirely digital event when Warner Brothers unveils upcoming shows, comics, movies, and games related to DC. In the first outing, Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League were revealed alongside concept art for The Flash featuring Michael Keaton's Batman. It was a jam-packed event full of exciting details for the coming years. However, one game that was absent was Injustice, despite many fans believing that a sequel would be unveiled. Since then, the developer NetherRealm Studios has announced that it is finished with Mortal Kombat 11, having launched its final DLC and Ultimate Edition, leading to copious amounts of speculation regarding its next game. There have been leaks abound for a while from the roster to launch date 2022, but nothing has been officially confirmed. Yet with Ed Boon's appearance at Fandome, many believe that we'll finally find out more soon enough. So there's two games in Injustice right now. Injustice, Gods Among Us, and then just Injustice 2. Yep. That's even comic and upcoming film. I feel like
Injustice 2 has a fuller name, doesn't it?
I thought so, too. I looked it up. No, it's just Injustice 2.
I thought we looked it up on the two episodes ago, and we had the name to it. That's why it made sense.
Well, so the leak claims the third one is Injustice 3, Gods Will Fall.
Number 2 doesn't have a name.
Look it up. So I did a little bit. So Injustice 2 released May 11th, 2017. With the final DLC it received launching on February 13th, 2018, which was the TMNT Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
Mortal Kombat 11 launched April 23rd, 2019. Aftermath released May 26, 2020, with that game receiving its last DLC on November 24th, 2020. So if they're only releasing DLC since 2019, you could pretty much put an A team working on a brand new title. Granted, the Aftermath DLC for Mortal Kombat 11 was an additional story.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was, again, it was almost like a sequel to their game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was like a movie.
Right, yeah, it was. So it doesn't sound too surprising that their new game should be announced and probably releasing somewhat.
Especially after that leak.
From my understanding, probably March 2022, because apparently every game is releasing in March 2022 next year.
Great. It's my birthday. I'm excited. My birthday month. It's going to be a great year, man.
Injustice 2. Is it just Injustice 2?
It's apparently. I swear we had a name for it 2 weeks ago. I swear. Mandela Effect.
Yeah, Mandela Effect. 100%. Thank you. Yes. It wasn't us. Yes.
It was absolutely a name
in fact,
2 weeks ago.
If we listen to that old podcast episode, I bet we just talk about how it's just called Injustice 2.
I guarantee it got cut out out of existence.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's probably 15 seconds of audio missing from that episode now.
Just a gap.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Things are on and up because I swear to God, I had a name to it.
I would think Injustice 3 is unveiled here and has to be shown off. This makes the most sense of where to show it.
Yeah, I think so.
Again, this DC fandom gets better every year. That's when we first saw Robert Pattinson's Batman movie trailer.
Definitely interested in.
These two games, though, the Gotham Knights, you were excited for that.
Real good.
And even Suicide Killed the Justice League?
That game looked good.
It looked way better than what people thought it was going to be when they finally unveiled it, you know?
And I'll definitely be pumped for an Injustice 3.
Yes.
I'm into it.
And then new Ghostbusters game is supposedly in development by Friday the 13th dev. This is by Emmanuel Ortiz at GameRant.com. The Ghostbusters property looks to be making a resurgence on the big screen with Ghostbusters Afterlife finally coming out next month. The same resurgence is seemingly going to extend to video games too. A new Ghostbusters game is supposedly in development by Illphonic, the developers behind the recent Predator Hunting Grounds and 2017's Friday the 13th game. So they do these games where it's 4v1, one player plays like the monster or something.
That Friday the 13th game was mad funny.
Right, so now
I played it a couple times. It was so funny.
Imagine that as Ghostbusters. It would work, right?
It would work. I don't know if it'll be as cool.
But it's kid friendly.
It's definitely
compared to Friday the 13th.
Definitely has a different audience.
Right.
But I don't know how cool it'll be.
And Illphonic worked on the Predator Hunting Ground game. That was a PlayStation 5 exclusive. Not PlayStation 5. A PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah.
Illphonic, I'm calling right now, will probably end up being bought by Sony. Especially because Sony owns the Ghostbuster IP. Okay. So I'm assuming Ghostbusters is going to be PlayStation exclusive as well.
Yeah.
So at this point, Biophonic, who's been working on your games exclusively now, it just makes too much sense. The only thing that I think it could be funnier than the last two, because Ghostbusters has somewhat of a comedic element.
Yeah.
It can hit all ages.
Absolutely.
I just don't think these games ever hit big. These 5v1 or 5v4 or 1v4s.
They hit big for
like streamers sometimes.
Weeks,
yes.
Month.
And Friday the 13th was plagued with bugs.
Absolutely, it was bad. But horrible. It was so funny, though. It was such a funny game to fucking play.
And just kill your friends, right?
Oh, just even when you're playing online in general.
I feel like it was such a big like streamer game. Like you could get five big name streamers to play that game together.
It's so exciting being Jason.
Really? I never played it.
Bad funny.
Does he walk like all slow like too? And
he wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
like, you know, it was just when you're like playing as the person and you're running around and he just pops up. He's like,
well, that's why I think like you could do it with Ghostbusters where when
they
pop up,
he'd be chasing you.
Yeah,
like, it was funny. I feel like there was another game like this too.
Well, Predator.
No, it wasn't the Predator one. I feel like there was something in between.
But it this definitely probably seems like the one I played was Friday the 13th, because that seems definitely around the
well,
time I
would have you playing. Definitely would have played Jason, too.
House.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because that was when we were big playing Xbox, because there was nothing else out yet.
And then this is the final news story of the week. This is a weird one. So this is Metroid Dread is already running on Switch emulators. Now this story pissed everyone off online. Now I'll explain it to you. So this is by Zach Zwien on Kotaku.com. Metroid was officially released on October 8th, but copies got out into the wild a few days before that. After such a short time, the game is now fully playable in 4K via various Nintendo Switch emulators. Released yesterday, Mercury Steam developed Metroid Dread is the long-awaited 2D return of Metroid series. It is a Switch exclusive, as you might expect, but because of readily available Switch emulators, people are already able to play Dread on powerful enough PCs. This raises huge issues for Nintendo, who are in the very unusual position of having a current-gen console that's already so readily emulated on PC. Normally, console emulation is a generation or two behind, meaning it's a scene that really rarely infringes on the release day sales. Of course, for those wanting to feel a more legitimate approach to such an action, purchase the Switch game before doing any such emulation. While legally very dubious, at least it feels more morally clear. Thanks to Nintendo's rather poor approach to supporting older games, especially those on the Game Boy Advance and DS, emulation is the only viable means to play through their collection, and this is the case for much of the Metroid franchise. There are so many good reasons to be grateful for pirates, emulators, modders, and hackers for doing what so many big publishers won't, keeping old games alive. Clearly, that's not the case for Metroid Dread, a brand new game. But this is an enormous issue Nintendo has to face given the relative technical inferiority of its current console. And then it was updated yesterday at 2:20 p.m. An earlier version of the story was understood by many readers to be a direct suggestion to illegally download this just-released game. We regret this interpretation. Kotaku believes emulation is a vital part of the world of gaming, not least when it comes to game preservation, while not directly encouraging anyone to break the law and download games they have not purchased. We believe our readers are intelligent adults capable of making such choices for themselves independently of us. So they had to edit this article.
I was going
to
say, they sounded big mad that people were stealing this, and now they're like, oh, wow, at least you're still playing it. Let's just do it separately because you get arrested. Like, we don't want any part of that.
So this wasn't the original one where...
I didn't even know they had Switch emulators yet.
So there's two of them. That's why I read.
It's very true. Yes. Most of the time, the emulators are a couple generations back.
And they still don't usually play it good and like as well.
You'd be surprised.
Some of them are easier to emulate.
Those Game Boy emulators, they play fucking great.
They're easier to emulate.
Oh, of course, but still.
Like N64 emulation, I heard, is a difficult task because you have to almost create an emulator for each game separately.
Like these 2D Metroid games would be easy, though.
They are. They're extremely.
Hypothetically, if I had an
emulation machine, hypothetically, I could play the Metroid 2D games, hypothetically, and that's how I played them before Dread came out. You know? So, hypothetically.
If you were to play them,
that's emulation how you would do it. Helped out a lot, you know? Because I've gone to used game stores before, hypothetically, I bought an emulating machine, and they were $120 for one of them.
Now, that's the... Here's my question.
Yep.
When they say, obviously, emulation is key to the preservation of old games.
Yep.
If I were to emulate, obviously, if I hypothetically were to play like Pokemon Crystal on my emulator, does that have any effect on their sales for Crystal?
So here's the thing. Technically, you can buy Crystal on a 3DS right now for $7.
Well, say I don't and just emulate it hypothetically. Do they make anything off of that?
No.
Any plays?
No.
Anything?
Nothing.
So like... So how does that really keep them alive? Like, it just gets you playing them. Well, it doesn't help them at all.
No, that's what he's saying. It keeps the preservation of the game alive.
But it still doesn't help them. Why would you encourage that?
So that's why people were pissed that they were encouraging, basically...
They almost still are now encouraging you to break the law, which doesn't help them. So I don't understand why they're doing it.
So the first one was talking about...
I would have stayed with my mad attitude and been like, buy it legally. Because that's the only way they're going to profit off it.
Right, so that's why originally they were talking about how you could play Metroid Dread 4K on a PC, which makes it better than the Switch version.
Obviously.
Right, but then the game just released, so now you're not spending $60, you're just
playing it.
Right, so you're not helping the developer
at all.
And then they're going to turn around and say, hey, like, this game didn't sell, so we're not going to make another one, so you're almost shooting them twice.
Yeah.
So that's why people were like, yo, why would you write an article that almost talks about why you should be emulating this game instead of buying the new game.
That's what I'm. That's what I'm. That's what I'm trying to have a problem.
Yeah,
so, I don't understand. They should have stuck with the first attitude. Yeah. And been pissed.
Yeah, it was a wild thing. So again, this is a edited version of the original. Because in the other one, the writer kind of makes jokes like, "Oh, Nintendo, don't read this if you're a lawyer," or you know. So he knew what he was writing was controversial.
Yeah.
But others claim, and this is kind of where I'm at, as long as you buy a physical copy, you should be able to emulate it. So if you go out and buy it, then emulate it. At least you legally own a copy and be like, this is my... Because people believe that you're allowed to digitally back up what you buy. But their original article never says, hey, go out and buy one before you emulate it.
I mean, like, even if I had bought Pokemon Crystal...
Yep.
And then I emulated it...
Yes.
What's the only difference is like my integrity. Like at that point, it really comes down to your morals.
Well, integrity, but they're also getting their cut technically.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, is my integrity going to allow them to get a cut, or am I just going to be a douchebag and just emulate it when I don't need to help them out? They're a big profit organization. Why do I care if they get the $6 on my crystal? I don't give a shit.
Well, I also believe if there's no viable way for you to give them money for that game,
I'll just send them $5 in the mail and be like, hey, I emulated that.
At that point, you should be able to download it. Because if there's no way to like legally buy it for them to make money on it anymore, like, I mean, let's just make up.
They're making so many things available too. Like, they're making old games available now.
Yes.
So it's like they're really trying to make sure you don't emulate.
Yeah.
But they want you to keep the old games alive.
So right.
It's like, what do I do here?
Well, that's why it was so wild that on the launch day of this game, you write this article.
Oh, yeah. No, it's.
By saying, while not directly encouraging anyone to break the law, is like, they're just telling you, all right, so just break the law.
Kotaku has been like, I think, 6 for 6 on weeks lately that one article they write has like really pissed off people. And I know they got like a new editor in chief or something, and I just don't see her having this job.
You said Kotaku, but your thing says
Blotaku. Yeah, I wrote Blotaku. I don't really like Kotaku.
I was
Kotaku.
Trying to figure out if that was like an error. No.
I don't really like Kotaku. I try not to use their articles on the podcast.
I feel like we have one every week.
It depends. So before I just grab an article, I read Shout like four of them.
Shout out Kotaku.
I read to see which one has the most pungent information without like some
the
of these writers
the most hate on it.
Well, no, some of them try to like put their own opinions into it and too many jokes, and it's just like, it's not what I needed. I just needed
the
facts.
Info,
I
don't need your. I don't know. I don't need to know how this made you feel.
If I could find the original article, because again, it's gone. I'd have to use like the Wayback Machine or something. He had like so many jokes in it where. Yeah, dude, it works. All right, it fucking works.
That's funny as hell though that it runs it higher. It says higher than 4K.
Yeah, higher than 4K. You can get more than right here. Higher than 4K resolution compared to the native 720-900p resolution available on the Switch in handheld or TV mode. This is a massive increase. It certainly seems a shame that legitimate versions of the game, its art style and visuals don't look as good when it's running at 4K. No shit, nothing's going to look as good at 4K if it's not running originally on 4K.
Yeah, absolutely,
I also believe that Dread is 30 frames per second, where if you use the emulators, you can get it to 60 frames per second.
Game can't run at that, then.
Yeah, I have seen people playing the emulator to see what the difference is. God, it looks beautiful, I'm not going to lie. But it's also crashed on them multiple times.
Oh, I'm sure it crashes three times as much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It can't take that standard.
Well, it's probably, you know, it's not built for that either, right? Like, it's...
That's what I mean.
All right, and that does it for this week's episode of the After Hour Nerd Podcast. You can find me on Twitter @AHN_gags.
Find me on Apex Papadil 22.
Yes, sir.